4. There is, of course, no story, no broken law back in Louisiana, no warrant, no ferry logs. I am no fugitive other than from myself. Here the story falls away. It, storytelling, has gotten so damn weak and safe. I say this not to attack from within, only to call a spade, a leftover lesson from art. I read such shit and see such shit paintings that I want to gag. One could spray one's vomit across the canvas and more deeply affect or touch the senses, what remains of them, than the things that are spewing out into the culture now. The left has vanished, has been consumed by the right. On one day, the Sierra Club announces it is against all logging on national forest, zero cut. And the next day, it turns around and endorses President Clinton for re-election, who has just endorsed the industrial liquidation of 5 billion board feet of timber in 1 year alone. Hell yes, employment is up this year. What about after the re-election, when the 5 billion drops back to zero because it's all been cut or washed away by erosion? Clinton tosses in the Tongass National Forest in Alaska, old-growth coastal rainforest, gives the timber company a 100-year lease on it, and the Sierra Club, bastion of radicalism, endorses him. Trying to shore up his base among the environmentalists, a long, nasty word for which we should start substituting human fucking beings, Clinton designated a couple million acres of Utah desert as a national monument. The year before, he signed a Senate bill protecting California desert. He's made some moves in the direction of protecting some Pacific Northwest old growth too, but nothing for the yak. Whether planned or not, he's making a political trade of rock for timber, trading the currency of yak's wildness for votes and red rock. And this is an alteration, a transformation, which will not bear scrutiny. It is not grounded in reality. It cannot be done. It is superficial, flimsy. It is theft. He is not the environmental president. He is trading rock for timber. Each has its inherent values, but each is different. The yak, perched up on the Canadian line like some hunch-shouldered griffin high in a snag, looking down on the rest of the American West, can act as a genetic pipeline to funnel its wild creatures and their strange, magical blood down into Yellowstone and the Bitterroot country and back out toward the prairies, too. It can still resurrect wildness. There is still a different thrumming in the blood of the yak's inhabitants. The damn Nature Conservancy won't even get involved up here. The timber companies own the land along the river bottoms in the yak, and they clear-cut those lands and left town rather than waiting for the trees to grow back, as they're always bragging they'll do. But before leaving town, shutting down the mill behind them so that now we have to export our wood and jobs to Idaho, the timber companies subdivided the hell out of those clear-cut lands, turned them into ranchettes like cow turds all up and down the river, and still I couldn't get the damn conservancy to become active up here. When I wrote to them, they wrote back and told me the valley wasn't important enough. They hadn't even ever seen the damn place. Now the vice president of the timber company, Plum Creek, that's selling off those lands in such tiny fragments, sits on the board of directors of the Nature Conservancy. I don't mean to speak ill of anyone, and certainly not of a man I've never met, but Plum Creek's got several tens of thousands of acres in the south end of the yak, in the Fisher River country, which is the only route by which a wandering grizzly can pass down out of the yak and into the rest of the West. Plum Creek owns the plug, the cork, to the bottleneck. These lands were given to them by Congress over 100 years ago. And so now the situation is that one man, one human, more heroic than any artist or group of artists ever dreamed of being, will do either the right thing and protect that land, or will do the wrong thing and strangle the last wildness. If you think I'm going to say please after what they've already done to this landscape, you can think again. It is not about being nice or courteous. It is not even about being radical. It is simply about right versus wrong and about history, that which is already past and that which is now being written and recorded. I can hear my echo. I recognize the tinny sound of my voice. I know when an edge is crossed in art, when a story floats or drifts backward or forward beyond its natural confines. And I understand I am a snarling wolverine, snapping illogically at everything in my pain, snapping at everyone, at fellow artists and at fellow environmentalists. I'm going to ask for help after all. I have to ask for help. This valley gives and gives and gives. It has been giving more timber to the country for the last 50 years than any other valley in the lower 48, and still not one acre of it is protected as wilderness. I load the logs slowly into the back of my ragged truck and drive them slowly to the mill in protest. The valley cannot ask for anything, can only give. And so, like a shell or husk of the valley, I am doing the asking, and I'm the one saying please, at the same time that I'm also saying in my human way, fuck you. Somebody help. Please help the Yak. Put this story in the president's or vice president's hands, or read it aloud to one of them by firelight on a snowy evening with a cup of cider within reach resting on an old wooden table. The firelight on the spines of books on the shelf, flickering as if across the bones or skeletons of things. And outside on that snowy night, the valley holding tight to the eloquence of a silence I can no longer hear over the roar of my own saw. Somebody, please do this. Somebody, please help. Thanks.